2 Corinthians 3, beginning with verse 7. The psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Let us listen attentively to the word of God and indeed hide his word in our hearts. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 7. "But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect, because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were hardened. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Amen. Paul says in verse 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." If I wanted to glorify you, I would say something good about you. I would think of some characteristic that is really outstanding in your life, and I would hold that characteristic up, and I would increase your recognition and your reputation and your fame. That would be your glory. When you glorify something, you reveal the essence of that thing. When Moses asked God, "Lord, show me your glory," God said, "You cannot see my glory, because no man can look upon God and live." And so God put his hand over the face of Moses, and God passed by. And Moses was able to see the goodness of God, but not his glory. not his essence. To glorify something is to show its essence. There is a glory to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that glory far exceeds the glory of anything that has been said about God in and out of the Bible. There is a greater glory to the gospel of Christ than there is to any other supposed glory that may be attached to any Old Testament revelation, to any extraordinary religious manifestation, to any glory that may be attributed to man, whether he is a president, whether he is a member of the Washington Redskins, whether he is a personal achiever, there is a glory that belongs to the gospel of Christ that is far greater than any glory that we may imagine, because there is an essence, there is something to it. Now, we could have used other words besides glory. That is the word the Bible uses. We could have said the dignity of the gospel. We could have said the solemnity, the grandeur, the luster, the splendor, the nobility, the majesty, the sublimity, the honor, the fame of the gospel. But the Bible says the glory of the gospel. There is a glory revealed in the Old Testament. Do you know what it is? The glory that is revealed in the Old Testament is that glory about a revelation about the character of God. That's what the Old Testament reveals. In those books, we see the action and the attitude, the attributes of God being manifested in the Old Testament. We see His character. In the law of God, thou shalt not. I alone am God. We see revealed to us the kind of moral character of the God whom we worship. There is a glory there. That glory was evidenced when Moses went up onto the mountain to fellowship with God 40 days, 40 nights, and when he returned, his face was translucent. His face was bright and shining, even to the point that a veil had to be taken and put over his face because the people could not look upon the face of Moses. Why? That Old Testament revelation was glorious because it revealed God's character. It showed us something of the nature. It showed us something of the attributes. It showed us something of the essential characteristic of God. But there was something deeply lacking in the Old Testament, in the glory of Old Testament revelation. The first thing that was lacking was this. All of the law, all of the actions, all of the miracles, whether we think of the Exodus, whether we think of the tabernacle in the Old Testament, when we look at Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, all of these great men, everything in the Old Testament, the law of God, could not change the heart of man. It was a glory. And it was glorious to consider the great religious biblical truths that are being manifested, the very nature of God, and yet there was something woefully lacking in all of this structure, and that is, it could never change the heart of man. Consider the law of God. What does it do? The law of God, when we read that law, can only show you your sin. And it does that, and that is its purpose. All of the Old Testament revelation can only demonstrate what a sinner you and I really are. We thought we were. But when you read the Bible, do you know what happens? You begin to realize how sinful you really are. I can remember chatting with a nightclub entertainer one time after we had played tennis one afternoon. We were going back to his home. He had visited my church. I was not planning to talk with him about the gospel. And yet he began to ask me about Eastern mysticism, about transcendental meditation, about different religions and about Christ and how I knew that Christ was the only true God, and we talked about it. And as I shared with him the gospel, he, as much as he was able to understand and know, he prayed and received Jesus Christ into his heart. And then 3 days later, he called me on the telephone and he said, "Langston, I thought I was bad. I thought I was a sinner. But since I have received Christ, I can do nothing else but to think about Christ and how unworthy I am." He says, "Whether I am taking a shower or when I go to bed at night or when I am playing the saxophone in the nightclub, it is all the same. I am conscious of Christ and my own unworthiness." A man who had come into the law of God and he had seen himself in the pages of Scripture as the sinner that he is. And that is what you will find if you open your heart and you begin to study the Word of God. You will see that you too are unworthy, that you are a sinner, and that you need a change of heart. But if there's one thing, and this is the great sad fact about Old Testament, it can never change your heart. It will find you, but it will leave you exactly where it finds you. God's glory was engraved in letters of stone. That is the point that Paul is making in 2 Corinthians 3 when he says that it is a ministry of death written and engraved on stones, and it was glorious. The beauty, the majesty, the splendor of Old Testament religion. When God was on a mountain and men went up to the mountain and they fellowshiped with God and they talked with God and angels walked across the face of the earth, wasn't it glorious? Yes. But it could never change you. It could find a man in his sin, but it would leave that man in his sin. The problem of the glory of the old covenant was simply, as Paul says in verse 7, it was a ministry of death. How sad it is. How miserable are those people. You've heard about them? People who have just enough religion to make them miserable. People who know enough about the Bible and who occasionally will go to it and read the Bible, and they're miserable people. because there are people who are yet still in their sin, and I wonder how many are there young people and maybe adults who were raised in Christian homes who know that they should go to church and they come to church, who know that they should pray and they pray, and who know that they should read their Bibles and they do it, and yet they're miserable. They know enough about the Bible to know that it condemns their heart, and they're miserable people. They have received a ministry of death. They have religion, but religion is out here that is something that they should do and obey and follow. They know the glory of the old covenant, but they do not know the glory of the gospel. You see, like Moses wanted to see the glory of God when God passed by. God said, no, you can see my goodness, but listen, do you want to know the glory of the gospel and what your glory is? What Moses could not see, you can see. Do you think that Old Testament religion was great and glorious, and to be there when angels were there and the angel of the Lord and the miracle of the Red Sea and the plagues in Egypt, to see all of these manifestations of God? But I want to tell you something more glorious is possible for you to see. And what is that? The glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ is a greater glory. The glory of the New Testament, Revelation, is that it did not merely reveal the character of God as the Old Testament revelation did. It revealed what God was like, but the New Testament gospel of Jesus Christ reveals God Himself, not His character, but God. And that's the difference. Hebrews 1:3 says that Jesus Christ was the brightness of His glory, the effulgence of His glory, the express image of God. Now I ask you, who are you if you are trying to find some other religion? If you are trying to have some grand and glorious religious experience, if you are looking anywhere else for the truth and for the greatness and the glory and the experience of freedom and of life than in the gospel of Jesus Christ, for you will not find it. It is right here. It is the glory of the gospel. The glory of the gospel is that it reveals to us Jesus Christ. Do you remember our Lord when He took James and John and Peter, and He went up onto the Mount of Transfiguration, and He left them there, and our Lord went a little further, and our Lord became transfigured, translucent, the glory of God within Him. His essence began to be manifested. He was veiled in His flesh while He walked this earth, but in one translucent moment, He let His disciples see who it is in this flesh, as He began to glow before them. The glory of the gospel is Jesus Christ Himself. He said it in this way. He said, Father, the time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Do you know what He meant by that? He meant that it was time for him to reveal his true nature, not by calling down angels from heaven and taking the sword and destroying his enemy. Do you know how the God of the Bible revealed his true essence? He hung upon a cross as your substitute. That is God. He was nailed to the tree. I was talking with a young man not too many weeks ago about Buddhism and Christianity. And he was talking about going to the Buddha and seeing the Buddha sitting content, who had experienced the ultimate in peacefulness and acceptance and contentment. And I pointed out what a contrast it is. For we go to a God who was crucified upon a cross, and we see his pain and his suffering for sinners. The one seeks peace through philosophy and meditation, but it is only possible through a God who has suffered the pain of affliction and death. I could not believe in a God if it were not for the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross and the gospel is the glory of God revealed. We see his justice revealed. I mean that God is a God who demands punishment for sin. He is a holy God and he cannot turn away. He must judge sin. His justice must be met. And so Jesus Christ has offered himself as the penalty for the sin of man. He said, I will take the sin of man upon myself, and I will therefore meet the demands of all the law of God, that the soul that sinneth, it should die. I will take the sin of this one, and I will take the sin of that one, and of this one, and upon me I will bear the justice and the wrath of God. But Christ reveals to us not only God's wrath, he also reveals the essence of God's love. They do not work against each other. For in the cross of Jesus Christ, God's justice and God's love embrace one another. As Jesus Christ was gasping upon the cross, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God's justice and his wrath poured out upon him, and God's love demonstrated. That how could anyone, much less God, love me, love you so much that he would meet the demands of his own law to die for you? What love! Donald Gray Barnhouse used to say, I wish sometimes I had a Roman Catholic crucifix, that I would take it into the pulpit and I would show it and I would say, God loves like that. God loves like that. Do you see it? Do you see the glory of the gospel in Jesus Christ, because it reveals not just the character of God, that was the Old Testament glory, but it reveals to us the very essence and nature of the God that we worship. And it's glorious. You see, therefore, Paul goes on to say, just as you and I, just as Jesus Christ reflects the essence of the glory of God, in verse 18 he says, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. What Paul says is this: just as Christ reflected the image of God and was himself God, we are to reflect the glory of Christ. You and I, how do we do that? By being transformed more and more into his image. How do we practically reflect that glory of the gospel, that glory of Christ in our own lives? Well, there are many different ways. I think primarily, personally, we must believe the gospel. We must have faith in God. You see, not to have faith in God is to remove the luster and the glory of the gospel. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It does not merely give an invitation. The Bible says we must. Faith and repentance and walking in Christ and embracing the gospel of Christ is not an alternative. God does not leave it up to our decision. He says, you must believe. You must believe. I think there is another way, practically speaking. We may reflect the glory of Christ and the glory of the gospel in our lives. That if we are Christians here today, I know that most of you, if not all of us, have been inundated, saturated. We have had a barrage of materialism, of worldliness, of secular lifestyle being placed before us every day, almost every moment, as you drive down Rainbow Drive or Megan and you listen to your radio and you see the billboards, there is a kingdom in conflict. The kingdom that is in conflict is either that we will give over to the materialism and the secularism of our day, or else we will go out as men and women who have been transformed by the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we will make a difference in our workplace and in our personal lives. One time, two disciples, James and John, who were initially called the sons of thunder, came to Jesus. And they said, Lord, when you come to your kingdom, may I sit, one sit on your right and the other sit on your left. They were asking for thrones. They were asking to be powerful Christians. They were asking to be important in the church. They were asking to have positions and material reward, to be in a place where they could have power over other people. Let me sit, Lord, at your right hand, and let my brother sit at your left hand. I think that there is so much in the Church of Jesus Christ today that is just sheer materialism. There is so much in the Church of Jesus Christ that reflects, dear brothers and sisters, have we sold out to the God of Mammon and to the gods of this world instead of to the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ? If we go about our work and if we go about our personal lives and if we go about our church life as if we were looking for power and position and influence and material reward, then you have missed it. You have missed the kingdom, because the kingdom is not flesh and blood. I want to ask you this morning, are you reflecting the glory of the gospel in what you do, in what you say, in what you watch, and how you conduct your personal life? That's practical. In our church, one thing I believe that the God of the Bible reveals, and that is His glory. He is a God of hospitality. I wonder how many of us are hospitable people, even in church. Is it possible that we seek the true glory of God and yet we reject the opportunities that God puts right in our midst of being like He is, of being people who welcome and who are the friendly and hospitable people that our Lord Himself is? Dear Christian, do we reflect the glory of the gospel in our church? In our homes, by self-sacrifice and self-denial? For the glory of the gospel is not power, but it is service and self-denial. How many of you want to be a servant and faithful Christian of Jesus Christ? How many of you want to reflect the glory of the gospel in your life and in your business and in your home? How many of you want to be a disciple? Then I want to invite you to take up your cross and to become the servant of everybody else. And the gospel and the cross will be glorified